the incredible shrinking tarp.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Here's something to help shock the system this Monday morning. A government program is costing less than they thought it would. The White House says the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, is going to cost $200 billion less than expected. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
Back in the summer, the administration thought the bailout fund could be hit with $341 billion in losses. But big financial institutions have been falling over themselves to pay back their funds and escape from under the government's thumb. Matthew Slaughter is a professor at Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business. He says there's good reason that bigger banks can pay off their loans. They're getting quite a bit of government help.
These banks have enjoyed very low borrowing costs thanks to the FDIC guaranteeing the debt that has been issued by many of these banks, and also thanks to the Federal Reserve continuing with its historically loose monetary policy.
And he says while some larger banks seem to be profitable, plenty of smaller ones are still struggling. Analysts predict many more could fail in coming months. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
A lot of the money that had been slated for TARP now is probably going to go to funding job creation. Here to talk about that with us is Senator Judd Gregg from New Hampshire. He joins us live. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Great.
So tell me, what do you think about using TARP money to try to create jobs?
Well, it's against law. The TARP, when it was created, was for the purposes of stabilizing the financial structure of this country, which it did. And it did in such an effective way that it's now being paid back with interest. So taxpayers are actually making money on the money that was basically put out to stabilize the financial industry. But the law has in it specific language, and I know it's specific because I wrote it, that said as the money comes back in, it's to be used to reduce the deficit and the debt, because our debt is one of our biggest problems as a nation. We're running trillions of dollars of debt, over a trillion-dollar deficit this year, but for the next 10 years, the president's budgets are projecting a trillion dollars on average every year. Our public debt's gone from 35% up to about 50%, headed towards 80% of GDP, maybe over 100%. Unsustainable situations, and that's why when we made this decision to go forward with TARP and put the $700 billion behind the financial structure to try to keep us from having a collapse, which would have led to potentially a depression rather than a very severe recession, we made it equally clear in a bipartisan way that when the money started to come back in, as these banks paid down this TARP money that was using to stabilize them with interest, that money was to go to reduce the debt.
How do you suggest that we address the issue of unemployment in the country? It's at about 10% now. I think about more than 7 million people are unemployed. What's the best way to address that?
Well, there are all sorts of ways to address it, but the government's role should be to give the small business people in this country, men and women who are out there taking risks and are the real job creators in our country, some certainty as to what their future's like. Unfortunately, with this health bill that's moving through the Congress, there's total uncertainty. There's major penalties in here for small business, major new taxes for small business. You've got this movement in the area of cap and trade, which is a massive national sales tax potentially. So you've got the business community a little concerned about what its future is and whether it's willing to make investments as versus going to have to spend money to pay taxes. So I think the best thing the government could do is create an atmosphere for people who are willing to take risks to create jobs. Small business people want to expand their business.
Senator Judd Gregg from New Hampshire. Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
The markets are looking pretty good this Monday morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up about 0.3%, 28 points to 10,417. The NASDAQ up just a hair to 2195. The S&P 500 up 0.1% to 1107.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
This year, a lot of us are watching our holiday budgets. Lots of bargain hunting. So what better moment is there to talk about one of the best American bargains of all time? Alaska. The U.S. bought Alaska in 1867 from Russia for about $7 million. But was that bargain a bust? David Barker thinks so. He's a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, good morning.
Good morning.
So Alaska was purchased by William Seward, Secretary of State under Lincoln. From what I understand, it was about 2 cents an acre. Is that
right? Yes, that's right.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Well, it does. And I first got interested in it as an example to teach in class of, you know, the best real estate deal ever in history. the more I looked into it, the weaker it looked. And the way I looked at it was U.S. taxpayers financed the purchase. And so the return to those taxpayers was any tax revenue that was received from Alaska minus the expenses of governing Alaska. And a lot of the other economic benefits like trade and other sorts of things could have been obtained without the purchase.
It's conventional wisdom that this was such a great deal. And Alaska has so many natural resources and other things. Why ultimately has this been a loss for taxpayers?
Well, I think mostly the cost of governing it. Alaska is very expensive to govern, always has been. It's a remote place, and the weather conditions make things difficult. There have also been natural disasters like the earthquake of 1964 that ended up being very expensive for the federal government. And projects like the Alaska Railroad turned out to be much more difficult than anticipated and cost a lot more money.
What about some of the other purchases that we made or acquisitions that we made? How do those stack up?
Well, turns out, for example, that Hawaii was a positive net present value project.
Oh, really?
The acquisition cost of Hawaii was much lower. We just assumed some debt of Hawaii, and the tax revenue has been positive ever since.
David Barker is a professor of finance at the University of Iowa. David, thank you.
Thank you.
Today, Virgin Galactic unveils Spaceship Two, a commercial spacecraft built to take passengers on a 2.5-hour ride into space, which includes about 5 minutes of zero gravity. People are paying $200,000 to reserve spots. Sounds expensive, but after a couple months of serious holiday eating, can you really put a price on 5 minutes of weightlessness? In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.